Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist. I'm so good with my prayers.
You are
jelly.
That was great.
It was great. I was just laughing, though, the subtle Baptist, as Shana speaks.
There is a lot of that in me, actually.
Preach.
Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit.
Praise.
They know how to show their love for Jesus.
Well, totally. Sure. Have you seen those GIFs of the Southern Baptist churches where people are just like dancing all crazy? And
yes,
that's one of my faves.
Someday we'll be there
during the hallelujah
fire.
I don't know much about these. I don't know if we're including this on the podcast, but revivalist nights that are part of Protestant religions. And I was listening to a revivalist night, revivalist preaching night, which basically is just like, it's not fire and brimstone, but it's like a lot of fire.
Charisma.
Yeah. And then like you hear all these people shouting in the background, like agreeing, but like basically the whole point of this is the preacher to get people as emotionally excited as possible.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure what the whole goal is. I actually kind of want to read more about it when revivalist nights started. I think it's pretty much an American thing.
When you say nights, that's not their normal like church or liturgical thing?
It would be like on a Wednesday night, I think. But I don't know what the point is and what the goal, why. You know.
You should just go check it out.
Yeah, I should. I don't know I don't know what places around here would do something like that, though. It's just really intense.
Well,
like, very intense.
Like tongues and...
No, not... Well, the ones I was listening to weren't, but it's like screaming. Like the preacher ends up screaming for many minutes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I would say when at my dad's funeral, it was like Protestant, non-denominational. But they, you know, if you go into a funeral in a Catholic church, we're very like...
Oh, yeah.
Calm, we're there to like mourn. No, they're blaring music and people are clapping.
Oh, wow.
And like, I just want to cry. Like, why just give me that time? And I'm like, I just came out of there like, oh my gosh, what just happened?
that's a good segue into what we're talking about, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. That's when there's sometimes that people have ideas for funerals that are similar to something like that. And really, there's no provisions for it in the Catholic ritual. And like, I just want to tell people, and oftentimes I do, look, we've been burying people for a long, long time. And there's a reason the church does what she does for funerals, because it's actually going to help you mourn. So I know you want this, but we're going to follow what the church asks. You know, we're not going to sing these types of songs. We're not going to have the eulogy at this time. You know, like, these are the things we're going to do.
Because
there's wisdom in what the church gives us.
Hmm.
Even the other day, I was asking one of the funeral directors, because like when you go to the graveside to actually do the commendation of the body, it's a really short ritual, and it sometimes at the end of it, I feel like, man, we could have done more, which is always the story with grief. You know, it's like, so I asked the funeral director, I'm like, do you see other priests or do you see Protestant ministers do things that you find are particularly helpful? He's like, you guys do it well. Like, the words are beautiful. If you say them slowly and reverently, like, they lead people to prayer. Just keep doing that. And I'm like, thank you.
We're doing it right.
How good. Okay, yeah, that was unintentional, but I think it does sort of lead into what we're talking about today. Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist.
Here we are.
Father Andrew's back for, what is this, a fourth week in a row?
We just love him so much.
Love you so much,
Yeah.
Deals with our last minute.
I'm like the Cardinals. We just keep winning.
Just keep winning. No matter what.
Yeah. So, what a gift though. So, today we're speaking about something kind of fun. I hope it turns out fun, but, just to sort of preface how it came into my brain, a couple weeks ago, I think we might've mentioned this. We did a leaders retreat on a Saturday, just a short, quick day thing for the teens. And one of the things that I wanted to sort of implore to the teens is that...
What was that word?
Implore.
Oh, okay. I heard implore, and I wasn't sure if you meant empower.
Empower.
Empower. Pour in.
Implore. Is implore the correct word there? Or no, it'd be a different... Maybe a different
word.
What
you wanted to implore...
upon the teens? Employ them to do, to understand?
There you go.
All right. Sorry. What was I even saying?
What you wanted
what to I wanted to share with the teens, a place of sharing with the teens, okay, was just the idea that, and calling out the idea that the culture that they're inundated with as young people, and sort of we're all swimming in that same culture too, but it's really devoid of meaning these days. And I mean, it's not, but that's the sense of nothing really means anything anymore. You know, everything's on a spectrum. Everything is fluid. There's really no cut and dry distinctions being made. And just what that does to us as human beings, because as human beings, we're made to feel and to have reactions to things that are appropriate. And it's really human to do that. And so the difficulty when we start living our lives as if there's no meaning to certain things or certain days, I think it creates within us a sadness.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Are you okay?
I'm alive.
That was aggressive.
It came unstrung. Okay, sorry.
So yeah, there's just a sadness that accompanies not allowing ourselves to feel the highs and lows of life. And so that got me thinking, like, what wisdom the church has in having certain feast days and certain seasons that sort of show us when there is a time to weep and a time to dance, when there is a time to mourn and to be joyful. And so I was thinking, I have kind of developed my own little crazy, honestly, like, things of prayer, ways to celebrate those days and to, you know, feast and fast during those days. And so, yeah, I was just thinking maybe we could chat about why the church has liturgical seasons or liturgical feast days. Anything you guys want to add before we dive into sort of certain silly celebrations we do? But Shane has got a whole rundown on what the different days mean, but I know Father had preliminary thoughts as well.
Yeah, I do have a few preliminary thoughts about, have you used this yet? Living liturgically? Have you said that?
I haven't said that word, no, but we could call it anything. Living liturgically.
Living liturgically. I think it was an idea that was introduced to me when I was in seminary because the church has feast days and it has fast days, and there's a certain cycle and rhythm that's created in the church's life, which is age old, and it's what we do each and every year. But I think there's a, if we can enter into it, I think it does a few things. Like, the first thing that I thought about is that it builds the domestic church up. Like, it doesn't even matter if you have a family, but like, your house is a place of worship. It should be. It should be a sanctuary, a place that you encounter God, you know? And so, you don't have to create that on your own. The church actually gives it to you. Like, there's days that you get to celebrate in a particular way, and then there's days you get to mourn or to, I don't know, enter into the suffering of Jesus in a particular way. And I think it helps, especially if you're doing it communally, it helps build up the domestic church. And you don't have to decide, oh, today we're going to try not to eat ice cream. It's like, well, today's a Friday, so we don't eat ice cream. Mm-hmm. And it's just what we do, mm-hmm. you know. Does that make sense? Building up the domestic church, the church at home, mm-hmm. especially when you're all doing it together. Other things is that it prepares us. Living liturgically prepares us for life when we follow this cycle. I think there's highs and then there's lows in the liturgical year. Like Lent, for example, would be a low in a certain way. Like, you fast from some things so that you can enter into the mystery more. Well, like, there's going to be periods in your life where good things are taken away from you because not because you wanted it, but because those were the circumstances dealt to you. And so during Lent, in many ways, we're actually preparing our hearts for when that happens. Like, it's preparing you as a disciple of Christ to enter into the highs and the lows. And to always realize that on the other side of a low is a high. And on the other side of a high is probably a low. Yeah. And so that shouldn't faze us when those different circumstances happen. Which also, I think, if we live liturgically, it builds devotion, which is no small thing. And one of my prime examples for that would be like, just even every Friday that you would take on a fast of your own, the church still asks that every Friday of the year you avoid eating meat. That is still a thing. But in the 70s, Pope Paul VI, I think, said, if you are going to eat meat, you at least need to do some other suitable penance on a Friday. So it was like Fridays is actually still, not just Fridays in Lent, every Friday is a fast day of some sort. You're supposed to give up something.
That's why we don't podcast on Fridays, because then we can't get Mexican.
Yep.
Oh. That's why we don't podcast on Fridays.
Oh, that's new to me.
Nobody knows it, and yeah, it's a real shame, but we're bringing it back.
Well, Father, would you say, when you say the church says that we should still do this, I'm familiar with that, like culturally, that's been the intention, yeah. But where in the church does that say you should do this?
It's actually a precept of the church.
Okay.
One of the six precepts,
okay.
Which nobody knows also. And so
next week.
One of the defining characteristics of what a law is that it's promulgated. And if it hasn't been promulgated, then it's not a law, which is annoying. Like in so many ways, this has been promulgated many, 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 many years ago. But then of course we haven't taught it. So like who's upholding this, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, growing up, I guarantee you, ask your grandparents. They didn't eat meat on Fridays growing up.
But how beautiful now to not see that as necessarily like, I have to do this because it's a law or a precept of the church, but actually like the Lord's passion took place on a Friday. And therefore I want to enter into that. That's the element of living liturgically, not because we're following the rules of the church necessarily, but because to live with the church means to cry when she cries and
yeah,
be excited.
And then people joke, it's like, well, I'm going to get shrimp anyway. Like, you know, what's the point? The point is that you're doing it intentionally. Like, that's the point, is that your heart and your mind are actually attentive to what's going on.
So,
yeah, people make a big deal of fish fries. Like, is this really penitential? Like, well, first of all, I think you can make it penitential, but you're choosing not to devour meat on that day. And that's like, that's a choice of your mind and heart to like select this thing. So there's more that you can enter into. But then finally, culture, any culture has important dates as part of it. Like this year, the new national holiday of Juneteenth was created in America. And I have no problems with Juneteenth being a national holiday, but it also seems, I don't actually know a ton about it, but it seems strange to me that it's something that happened very locally in Texas, and then now it's a national holiday for all 50 states. And we're just looking to give people a day off of work, I think, is the idea behind it. But you didn't get off work?
No. She's saying that's not the idea behind it.
That's not the idea.
What's the idea?
Well, it was when...
Emancipation of slaves in Texas. Well, regardless...
It's like a celebration everywhere, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To people that have a line of slavery in their family. They're like,
we are
free.
I see.
It gives them a time. It's a feast day.
No, it is a feast day. So what I'm saying is every culture has these feast days. And that's a necessary part of culture for your joint, I don't know what you call
identity?
It.
Identity.
Identity in history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's so important. Well, like... Catholics, we have like probably the most robust culture, more robust than any nation. You know, like we have so many citizens, as it were, of Catholicism, and many citizens still in heaven, you know, and we need to celebrate those. And if we don't, then the Christian culture, where is it? It's totally hidden, you know. So I think living liturgically is probably the greatest way that we enter into Catholic culture and spread it.
Yeah. And I would say what you mentioned about the intention behind it being there, because that's true. And I think when we consider, like if you ask anyone on the street, like what's an aspect of Catholic identity, you might get Catholics drink a lot and they're big into like suffering and mortification, and like there's something with Lent, you know, like fish fries. And like those people everywhere know about fish fries, you know, which I think those are all certainly true to a certain extent. But to actually understand the reason behind us having a fish fry, or why it is why Ash Wednesday exists, you know,
sure.
And to enter into those with ready hearts and willing hearts rather than just because I'm Catholic and we do this, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's just such a call to attention, which I really appreciate with the culture.
Okay. So how about ordinary time?
Well, there's still lots of saints in ordinary time.
Yes.
And Sunday is always a celebration of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. It's a feast.
Well, ordinary time, Father mentioned this, living liturgically allows you to enter into normal life well. Yeah. And is there not like a plateau? I mean, anyone who's an adult can admit to
that. The grind.
The grind.
Daily grind.
The grind. But just, and I think that's why the color is green symbolically, right? It's because it's like growing ordinary growth. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which doesn't mean it's boring at all, because there are some major feasts during ordinary time, mm-hmm. but
I guess that's when we really pick up our feasts and look at them. We're like, oh yeah, look, it's ordinary time, but we get to celebrate.
Celebrate. Oh,
yeah,
geez,
we did. It's going to come out.
Right, we were singing earlier.
Yeah, so that may have been a very boring preface to Alyssa's fun and flirty topic.
No, well, I think that's good.
Why don't you hit us with some of your favorite feasts, things that you like to do?
I will do that.
Let me go over the different levels.
Yeah, Shayna so graciously did some research for us. Just hit us real quick with the spark notes of different types of feasts that the church has.
Sounds good. That's all I got is real quick. Short and to the point.
Well, no. All right. You can, as long as you'd like.
Thank you.
The floor is yours, Shane.
All right. So there are different types of feast days. I'll start from the highest and then have it go down to the lowest, kind of. So we have solemnities. And when you think of a solemnity, think of like a Sunday Mass. They're going to have all the readings, all the prayers, the creed, the Gloria.
Nice.
These are like Christmas, Easter,
The big guns.
Yeah, the big guns. People that are really important to Jesus, you know.
Or Jesus.
Or Jesus himself, yes. Then after that, we have the feast days, mm-hmm. which are major events or mysteries in the life of Christ, such as the Transfiguration. But you still only have normal readings and everything
else. So those are called feast days.
Feasts.
Okay.
Feasts.
We kind of call everything a feast day.
Sure.
If it's not just an ordinary day, we call it a feast day colloquially.
Mm-hmm.
But like she's going to talk about memorials, I'm sure. And we still call memorials a feast day.
Okay, great.
Like an example of a memorial would be Saint
Vincent de Paul.
Vincent de Paul. Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then the last one are...
Other feast days, by the way, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you just said our Lord, but also like all of the apostles are feast days.
Yes.
Yeah.
In this section. Yeah.
So it's solemnity, then feast day, then
and
memorial.
Then memorial.
Okay.
Yes. So those are obligatory.
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 You have to do them.
Yes, you have to do it.
So like
memorials?
Optional St. Readings. Vincent de Paul is an obligatory memorial. St. Peter Julian Amard is optional. We don't have to celebrate him.
So like we're just like giving them power rankings in heaven?
Oh, yeah. And there's some optional saint, like I always like to celebrate saints until like we've had like four saints in a row, and then it's like I have this optional one. I'm like, I think I'd just rather have a normal day.
Yeah. Ordinary day.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then the last one is where our saints fall in for the most part, right?
Uh-huh.
Into memorials.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the ranking of how their mass, that mass that day, mm-hmm. will be celebrated. So again, the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Catholic faith. And so everything that we do either flows from or goes towards the Mass. So like living liturgically is ultimately based on what's happening at Mass that day, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But this is one of the things I like about being Catholic is it has all these little nooks and crannies that not everyone knows about, and like, oh, it's just something special that I like that other people don't have.
Yeah.
Religions.
Yeah, that's a good point because I didn't think about this, but when I sort of, this all seems like the tradition of the church, the culture of these things, it just seems like a lot to remember. And for those who are kind of on the outskirts, maybe, or like my brother-in-law, God bless him, he has a lot of questions about just why do we need all this tradition and all the saints and everything? And it's a really beautiful thing to be able to say, like, it helps us enter more deeply into communion. Mm-hmm. But also in the same vein that, who did you just say? St. Peter, Julian?
Aimard,
yeah. So yeah, when I go to Mass that day, I'll celebrate with him and his prayers and things, but he's not necessary for my salvation, right? Like the saints aren't necessary for my salvation, but the Lord in his goodness, like, gives us this ability to be human amidst like what is happening in the church. And I think if there's a question of like, well, how do I even begin? Where do I start? Like daily Mass for me, when I started going to daily Mass, mm-hmm. In college, you start, there's a saint of the day, almost every day,
yep.
Or often, and you get to read like the little blurbs about them, and it's just kind of cool. And then the Lord and his generosity will build upon that, and certain people will speak to you, and that it breeds devotion, like you were saying, Father.
Just like a nation, like go to Washington, D.C. You have the Lincoln Memorial, you have the Jefferson Memorial, you have the Washington Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have these pillars of America that we go and reverence, you know. In the same way, the church gives us so many friends of Jesus, like truly people who are closest to him in their life, to say, these are the stars that point you back to the one you should be focused on. And we look at their lives and we celebrate them, and we ask them to intercede for us, which is really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We learned so much.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Anything else before we jump into some of our
to the fun feasts?
Some of these might be weird. I'm just going to preface that.
Let's go for it.
Full send. Well, where do you want to start? The beginning of the year?
We can bounce.
Okay. I'll start with this. So, one way Father mentioned like living liturgically aids in the domestic church, right? It also aids in building community anywhere. So, one fun thing we did in college was, you know, All Souls Day. Halloween comes from that, like All Hallows Eve,
mm-hmm.
All the souls. And it's sort of been commercialized in America and all these things. But All Saints Day.
All Hallow. Hallow means holy. So
yes.
All the holy ones, all the saints.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's All Souls.
No, All Saints Day is on November 1st. No, All Souls is on
November
1st.
It's All Hallows Eve.
All the holy ones.
It's the holy
ones.
It's the Eve before the saints.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why Halloween first started. That you would dress up as saints.
Saints, yes. Okay.
Not as ghosts.
Okay. Okay. So then that's a good clarification, because this thing in college we did, our missionaries would throw an All Saints Day party each year, and everyone would dress up as saints. It was just so wild the things that people came in with, you know.
Oh yeah.
And we get super creative, and like, then it's just funny because it's your friends are like also your heavenly friends. So I remember the one year I didn't find anything wrong with this, but I showed up and people were like, Alyssa, this is not good. But I dressed up as Maximilian Kolbe because I had a blue striped shirt.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it was All Saints Day. It was like devotional. I didn't think it was a bad thing, but, and I had these like little wire rimmed glasses that I wore, and I like slicked my hair back. It was so funny.
Prisoner at Auschwitz.
Yeah. Yeah. But and that was an easy outfit, you know, because I knew everyone was going to show up as like Mary, apparitions of Mary, because it's easy. Mm-hmm. You just throw colored sheets over
Which
you.
Which apparition are you?
yeah. All the Marys got in one picture. John Paul II was there. We had I think Elizabeth of the Trinity, one person, was Catherine of Siena. Like, it was just so good. And it's they dress up as the sort of like prayer cards that you see them in, mm-hmm. like all the symbols that they're holding about their life. Right. So it was just so much fun. And it was like wholesome. Like, we weren't very there to awesome. Get drunk in a Halloween mm-hmm. party. It was like, let's just be weird. And
very wholesome.
Yeah.
Did you win?
It wasn't a contest, but we did play Catan till like 3 a.m., at which I did win that.
You're a winner.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, what saint are we going to be for Halloween then?
I don't know.
I'll have to choose. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's good. Well, when do you guys want to jump in? Do you want me to just say a few and then you can take a turn? Or?
Sure. Tiff, say a few. Take a turn. Take one down, pass it around.
Take one down, pass it around. 99
Saints on the wall.
Okay, the next one I have on my list is then St. Lucie, which yes. I don't necessarily have a huge devotion to St. Lucie, but I know when I think about like moms implementing liturgical living into their... Father, I need you to stop right now. When I think about moms implementing liturgical living into their family life, I think of St. Lucie, just like making pastries with your kids and everything. So
hey,
tell us about St. Lucie.
Let's say, oh no, I only giggle because Alyssa had me speak for the teens last year and it was on St. Lucie's feast day. That's right. And I was like, oh, can I get everyone's cinnamon buns because it's St. Lucie's feast day?
So
and
good.
She was like, sure. And the
Made
teens loved
lives.
It
they
because
did.
It was free food. My kids loved it because they got cinnamon buns. Mm-hmm. And then we got to talk about St. Lucie. It's mm-hmm. really a good avenue. When you talk about a house of the domestic church, it really does.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it gives you something to learn about.
Yeah. Guys in the seminary used to be trolls. And on St. Lucie's feast day, St. Lucie was martyred. Her eyes were taken out. And then she was killed. But on her feast day, guys, we would be the cantors would select the music. And they used to sing... I has not seen, ear has not heard, which is cruel.
Because then you're like that's laughing at us.
When God has heard.
That's awesome. Man.
Yeah.
Poor St. Lucie.
Yeah, how good. I was just thinking in terms of days I know, but the next one that falls in line for me that I would say, I mean, you have, so Lucie's, what, December 12th?
Mm-hmm.
Then you
no,
have 13th. 13th.
It's somewhere in there.
December 12th is... Our Lady Guadalupe, La Guadalupana.
I
La Guadalupana,
right,
La Guadalupana, La Guadalupana.
So Mary's got a lot.
Everything.
Oh my gosh. Mary's got that one. She's
well,
also got...
Well, Our Lady Guadalupe. I mean,
go for
it's just clear.
Yeah, say
speak. You go get an enchilada.
Is that Tuesday? I don't know. yeah, that's a good one. Speaking of which, Our Lady of Guadalupe, our priest, so this is a way that anyone can implement it into the situation that they're in, but our associate pastor at the Newman Center had a huge devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it's like, Columbia, Missouri, why do they, we didn't have a huge, you know, Hispanic population, but he really loved Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so it was during like the Monday of finals week each year. Well, I don't know if it was always a Monday, but that day it always fell on finals week. And at the Newman Center, there would be snack tables that parishioners would bring, and people would just camp out for like an inordinate amount of hours to study at Newman. Mm-hmm. And so you would get up early to go study. And he said, the tradition is to celebrate like 5 a.m. Mass on yep. Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yep.
So we would get up at like 4:30 and show up at the Newman Center, and everyone's like in their pajamas. And he would celebrate this like really intimate Mass for just a few people. Mm-hmm. I mean, like 30. And then we would go study and go make a Dunkin' Run afterwards. And then you'd come back and study and
nice.
Just like communion, you mm-hmm. know? So yeah.
Speaking of living liturgically, the restaurant Mi Lupita on Manchester Road at New Baldwin. Lupita is short for like Lupa or Lupe, which comes from Guadalupe. Mm. So like that's somebody's name.
Oh, wow.
Hmm. It's a nickname for, like, Lupita. Guadalupe. If someone who... A woman who would be named Guadalupe.
Oh, beautiful. I thought
so
we looked
no, don't
that
just
up
live
we
liturgically.
There.
Name liturgically.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't we look that up when we went there
we
the other
did.
Day? What, that is not what you told me it meant.
I think that's... I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
I think you said it meant harvest or something.
A river. And wolves. I don't remember.
Wolves anyways. Is Italian. Yeah. It might be a little bit of Spanish, too.
Hmm. Nice. Okay, the next one I have is celebrating my baptismal birthday, which isn't a liturgical thing, but it is for me. I don't know if you have
an answer
if
that was a popular thing.
What's yours?
February 17th.
Okay, cool.
What's yours?
November 15th.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I knew that.
Don't ask me because I don't remember.
Okay, I know. I had to
look
it
up.
I had to look mine up.
Pope Francis like ordered Catholics to look it up. We could check it out in the...
I know.
Cloudy,
I know a girl.
Cloudy has access to it.
No girl.
Yeah.
Cool.
Is that like a popular thing though? I have a friend. Her, all of her kids, I guess, were baptized around the same time. So now it keeps popping up like, oh, we're happy baptism day. Or baptism
I don't think
day.
It's as popular as it should be.
I was like, oh.
I think it should be more popular.
Well, it should be.
I know some people who don't celebrate their children's birthdays
nearly as much
as they celebrate their baptismal day.
Wow.
Nice.
Because your earthly life will come to an end, but your spiritual life will not.
They would like that.
Yeah. Tell that to your kids and see how it goes over.
You will die.
You will die, and we want to celebrate it.
Oh.
Cool. All right. The next one. This is way jumping around, but...
Jump around.
Jump. St. Ignatius of Loyola.
July 31st.
Yes. He's become, I would say, and if I were to power rank my own devotions, he's like a secondary or maybe tertiary devotion of mine, not like a big hitter, you know? I told you this was going to be weird. I'm fine with it, okay? And again, this might be like a strange celebration in terms of who he was, but he had like understanding his view of creation and how creation itself is an avenue by which we can experience the love of God. I think there's a really easy way to make that sort of like hippie. But anytime on his feast day, I try to be outside praying at some point, which I don't do often. Like I'm normally in a church somewhere in a chapel, but, recently we have a park by our house. And so I got up early and it overlooks the river and just went to pray morning prayer, like watching the sunrise over the river. And it was really beautiful. And it was just like, thanks, St. Mm-hmm. Iggy, you know? So.
Love it.
That was fun. Yeah. I'm going to stop so you guys can share some.
Shana?
Some of my fave are St. Therese of Lisieux, which is coming up probably when this comes out.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, on Friday. Happy
October
feast
1st.
You can get some roses.
She's so huge.
Maybe.
I was thinking about that. I'm going to buy like 17 bouquets and just hand them out.
This is your sign.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll be funny because a lot of people are praying the novena right now. And then when they start getting roses, they're going to be like, oh, what?
You get
I'm
a
just
rose,
answering prayers left and right. Doing the Lord's work.
So she just holds a special place in my heart because I just remind myself, just do things in the little way. Yeah. The little way.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer and...
Yeah.
She was one to always speak of being a child of God. And so it's always good remembrance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right now I'm praying the novena. And so I'm like, oh, we'll see if it happens.
Yeah.
I was opened up to the novena from Alyssa. She's like, yeah, at the end, you like get a rose if it's answered.
Well, maybe sometimes.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Sometimes she wants to help you, so. Yeah. Do you want me to say another one, or you just want to?
Keep going.
Okay. Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
September 5th.
Yeah. September 5th, okay. Yeah. I just had to look it up. I don't have it all memorized. I just know I like her. And that one hits home. She hits home because family is a big thing for me. And she's always saying you have to love your family if you want to promote world peace. And I'm becoming, my eyes have been opened up to that a lot more because it's so hard to reach everyone in the world. But if you think and you just make sure your family's good, then when they grow up to be, you know, older humans, they'll be kind humans and...
Do you want to know a fun fact about the two statements you just made?
I do.
Mother Teresa took her name from Therese of Lisieux, and Therese of Lisieux took her name from Teresa of Avila.
Oh,
so you just got a little like Carmelite heart going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to get a floral sweater or something?
don't expose me yet. Father, do you have any that you
I've got plenty. One that... a lot of people celebrate, well, literally everybody celebrates St. Paddy's Day, except I don't. I mean, like, I've never been to the St. Paddy's Day parade. Don't intend to go this year.
In Chicago?
No, here in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Are you Irish?
No, not a little bit. So I celebrate St. Boniface's Day on the 5th of...
That's so angsty.
The 5th of June. St. Boniface was the, I don't know, evangelizer to the... missionary to the people of the Germanic tribes.
And sounds like a fun guy.
Oh yeah, he was the best. He was a monk. So anyway, one of his famous stories is like chopping down a tree. So like, that's neither here nor there. But I try to eat like schnitzel on this feast day, which
drink
is harder.
Beer.
Now that Schneidhorst is closed, it's kind of harder to find schnitzel. But
I'll find a place for you.
St. Bruno's feast day is on my birthday, October 6th. Nice. And every year on the 6th of October, I have chartreuse. I think we talked about this last year, probably.
We talked about this last episode.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We talked about it every
year. About chartreuse.
I remember yes. you talking about this, yeah. yes.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah,
well, we've been there. The Carthusians make a delicious liqueur called chartreuse. Did you know that?
I don't think it's that delicious, though.
I think it tastes a little bit like floral mouthwash.
Yes.
You're welcome.
But that's where we get the color chartreuse from.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of going down the calendar, All Souls Day, I tried to make a visit to the cemetery, mm-hmm. any cemetery, but then I would like to visit my grandparents at least. And I try to go to my grandparents' graves on the day that they died normally. Which I have all those dates saved in my phone for mm-hmm. when that comes up, if I can make it there. And the thing about All Souls, too, I remember this. Maybe I've said this here, but I remember I was in Warsaw many years ago on All Souls Day, and we were going to the airport to leave, and the taxi driver, we're on the highway, and there's like this 3 mile long line. And I'm like, I asked the taxi driver, I'm like, what's going on? He's like, this is the line for the cemetery.
Oh.
That on All Souls Day, everyone in Poland goes to visit their beloved dead.
Oh, cool.
Mm. Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. I mentioned Juan Diego. I do eat Mexican food on Juan Diego's feast day. I'm not kidding.
When is his separate from Our Lady of Guadalupe?
Yes.
Okay.
His is actually the 9th of December.
Okay.
Right around that time, I can't remember when exactly. It's either November or December. What I used to like, well, let's say this, and then I'll stop.
no, it's good.
In Rome, when I used to live in Rome, celebrating feast days was like a different reality. Because I would literally walk to their graves.
Oh, wow.
But one of my most favorite ones was going to the Venerable English College. So I was at the North American College, which is Americans. And the Venerable English College is the English seminarians. Hmm. And they're called Venerable for this reason, that in the 1600s, 1700s, when Catholicism was banned in England, they couldn't have seminaries. So they had to go study abroad. The English seminarians had to go study abroad, a lot of them in France and some in Rome. And the guys in Rome were being trained. And like, there's awesome stories about this. Like, they weren't being trained just to be your parish priest. They were being trained to be martyrs. So at the Venerable English College, guys would go off. They'd be ordained. And then they'd go back to England. And what would happen is when the seminary learned about their death, they would ring the bells.
Oh, my gosh.
And sing the Te Deum, which is... the biggest hymn of jubilation that we have in the church, and we seldom get to sing it. It's all in Latin. But anyway, on the Feast of the English Martyrs, what the Venerable English College does, so they open their doors, and we do like a solemn, very solemn prayer service, and then they bring out the relics of the martyrs. And they have 40 plus alumni who were martyrs.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
It gives me chills.
Wow. Yeah.
It's amazing. So that was always a really special night. It was candlelit, like very solemn. So we'd go over there.
So Catholicism was banned, and these men would receive a call to the priesthood, knowing full well that like they would be needing to celebrate underground masses and yep. likely...
And eventually they'd get caught and they'd be killed. Mm. And then word would get back that so-and-so died. And then
I'm all for this. Mm-hmm. I'm so about this.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Hmm. If that's not, this is who Joe was talking about on his episode, the Ed McCampion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't read, I'll have to lend it out to you. I think you'd like it. But there's a Evelyn Waugh, who's a British author, mm-hmm. wrote Brideshead Revisited. He also wrote Edmund Campion, A Life. And it's a biography of Edmund Campion, which is written extremely beautifully, but then also just details a lot of these specifics of his life and what it was, how difficult it was to practice Christianity, Catholicism cool. in England at that time. Mm. And then how Edmund Campion eventually got caught and was killed.
I love it.
Mm. All right, keep going, Alyssa.
Me? Okay, I have some more. Gosh, I don't know which ones to do. So anytime there's a Marian feast day, I'm pretty much a sucker for like flowers, whether I just bring them home or get them for someone else or whatever.
I wear blue.
I like fresh. No, I don't wear
do
blue.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
You do? That's nice.
I try to.
That's great.
Yeah.
Flowers are way prettier though.
No, you're an image in blue. Yeah. So there's so many of those that it's kind of just like, anytime a Marian feast day or solemnity or something arises, I want to like look at everyone I'm around, and normally it's Father and Shayna, and being like, "What are we doing? Yeah. Are we gonna go get something like coffee, yeah. or what are we doing?
Yeah.
Celebrate."
So that's always fun. This is what Shayna was making fun of me earlier for, but this was a really like beautiful moment of prayer. And you guys, I preface this by saying it's gonna sound weird, but I don't care. I sort of have a Carmelite heart. And so I love the Carmelites. I love their feast especially, and the saints that they've produced. But and so we're so blessed right down the road, right down Clayton, there's the Monastery of St. Joseph, Carmelite Monastery. And it's pretty open in the grounds. The parts that aren't the cloister are open to the public. So usually on a Carmelite feast day, I'll try to go there, and they typically have adoration going on. But I remember, this is where the floral sweater comes in, is I told Shayna and Father that like oftentimes on Carmelite feast days, I like to wear a floral sweater. It hasn't happened in a while, okay? But it was just a thing that was kind of going on. And
Next week,
yeah.
This week.
We'll see you on Friday. Yes. It's a little too warm still. But anyway, so I'm at, I think it was Teresa of Avila's like last year or 2 years ago. And November 15th. And I was at the monastery, and I had been reading just a lot about her and really like asking for her intercession. And yeah, it was just a really beautiful moment. And I was wearing this sweater, and I didn't even realize it. And I was there, and I was looking, I was kind of kneeling before her statue at the monastery. And there were so many beautiful flowers before her statue. And I was like, oh. Like, Lord, I don't have any flowers with me, and I have to be back at St. Clair soon for a ministry event. I can't go get some. I don't have any flowers to like bring to you. And I was wearing this sweater. This is so lame, but I don't care. I was wearing the sweater, and I was like, all I can give you is myself right now. Like this, and I'm not exactly a flower, maybe a wildflower, if any, but would that be enough for you right now? Like, and it was just a beautiful moment. So I was like,
I love it.
Shoot, I'm going to wear this all the time.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's cute.
It's kind of fun.
It's real.
Now I understand.
Living faith.
Yeah. I thought that was like an actual thing on a Carmelite sister's feast day.
We're making it a thing.
It's an insane thing.
I'm going to start wearing
a little sweater. Savers, here we go.
I like to go to the Carmel on those feast days, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's right there. It's beautiful.
It really is a beautiful place, yeah.
Same thing, visiting saints here locally. I haven't done this, but St. Rose Philippine Duchenne is literally buried in this diocese.
You have done that.
Not on her feast day.
Oh, not on her feast day. Okay.
But that would be a thing to like make pilgrimage on somebody's feast day. So pilgrimage there to St. Charles. And then also the National Shrine of the Miraculous Medal is in our diocese. It's in Perryville. And so... the Miraculous Medal on it has that line, O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Mm. So that's typically celebrated on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. So I'm hoping, I want the parish to lead a pilgrimage, like charter a bus. Shannon, put this on your radar.
I listened to your homily this past weekend. I was like, here we go. I'm taking notes.
But I would like to make a little pilgrimage to there. That would be a bad time because it's going to be really cold outside. But maybe like for the Feast of the Annunciation mm-hmm. in March, do a nice Marian feast day pilgrimage.
When is St. Rose's?
St. Rose's. Oh, gosh.
It was really fun to go there, though, and, like, be in the presence of.
Yeah.
And I think anytime she makes me feel some type of way. I think if there's any way to form a devotion, not just to, like, the saint of your parish, but to actually get to know the saints of your region. I mean, and we've spoken about this so often, like the need to become apostles and missionaries for our local church and like our local communities, like call upon the intercession of the saints who have literally labored and suffered in your diocese, you know?
Yeah.
St. Louis for most of our listeners, but
and guess what? It's another fun community thing to do.
Oh yeah. Like
going on the pilgrimage.
Totally.
To these places would be.
Yeah.
That's what I love about the Catholic Church. All about community.
Yeah.
It is.
Communion.
The communion of saints.
Mm-hmm. With a little S.
This is, I don't know, like, this is weird where it's like, okay, this is a thing that I do on that day, but does it necessarily mean, like, living liturgically? I mean, it does in a way, but, like, on St. Thomas Becket's feast day, I like to watch the movie Becket, which is an amazing
film. I think
film.
That counts.
St. Thomas More's feast day, I like to watch A Man for All Seasons, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I know a lot of other people do that as well, like find a video or a movie about saints. I never saw, I mean, there's a number of movies I've never seen, like Catholic movies, but those are two that are some of my very favorite films ever.
Hmm.
And I like to watch them on those saints' feast days.
Yeah.
Sounds like parish movie night might be happening sometime soon.
That'd be good. I think that will be fun. Good.
I mean, those movies are pretty slow. I mean, like...
A lot of them are pretty slow.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf is starring as Padre Pio.
Yes, I heard about this.
What?
So
He's went full circle.
And apparently, this was crazy. So, my friend Maggie, Father knows her, she was telling me that she was speaking to her brother-in-law about this movie that Shia LaBeouf's going to be in. And I don't know what it's called, but... he's going to be a Franciscan, essentially. Like, Padre Pio was a Franciscan, right?
Capuchin.
What's different?
It's a type of Franciscan.
Okay, so.
One of the flavors.
Monastic. Okay. And her brother-in-law is a Marine, okay? So he, like, has fought for his country. He knows brotherhood, all these things. He knows what it means to sacrifice in that sense. And she was speaking to him about this movie, and one of the... He brought up to her, he said, I have an issue with Shia LaBeouf because he kind of did an interview after playing this role of Padre Pio. And people asked him what the preparation was like in working with the Capuchins. And he said in this interview that he's never been a part of filming, that he's been inundated by a group of people that have been so like self-sacrificial for others. And this Marine like took offense to that in the sense that, you know, like, well, what does that mean? Like, like he's done Transformers, you know, Shia LaBeouf was in Transformers and he worked with Marines there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And so that was just like an avenue to conversation. Like, well, what was it like, you know? And what do you think he's talking about if this Capuchin, you know, order or whatever that he worked with so transformed him in that way. So that's a cool way that like culture intersects faith, but.
I love Padre Pio too. Pray, hope, don't worry. Every day.
Every day.
Another fun connection just with the word Capuchin is that people pronounce it Capuchin a lot in English, which I'm like, please don't. But Capuchin comes from the Italian word cappuccio, which means hood. So they always had hoods. Mm. Disgusting brown habits. And so Capuchins were around Italy, you know, they were there. And then when Italians really started to invest in coffee, they started making this drink that had milk in it. The color of it resembled the color of their habits. And that's where we get the word cappuccino.
I love it.
Yeah.
Let's go celebrate.
We're everywhere.
you can't escape us.
I'm proud.
Cool. Okay, we're at 50 minutes. We could go on forever. I mean, I have so many more that I love, but
Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday, St. Francis, pet blessing.
Mm-hmm. All the feels.
Any other big days you celebrate?
Christmas.
Well, yeah. You and everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This is where like it can go too far. I got one of those.
You go first.
Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. You know the masks that you see for Mardi Gras?
Mm-hmm.
You know where that comes from? What town?
What town?
Yeah.
No.
Venice, Italy. Which is where, like, the masks come from a time when social strata were so divided that if you were nobility, you didn't talk to peasants, you know? And so Fat Tuesday was this big feast day, but they wanted to intermingle in a sort of very intimate physically way, but to not be seen as to be like mingling with somebody who's of a lower like social strata than you, everybody would wear masks on Mardi Gras, and you didn't know who anybody was. Your identity was stripped from you, and so that you could be physically intimate with anybody at the Mardi Gras party.
Wow.
And so I hate seeing those masks because it's just a symbol of like grave sin, you know, and just debauchery.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like, yeah, sexual lewdness in a big thing.
I remember, I think not last COVID year, but the previous year, I helped little kids at St. Clair put jewels on those masks.
Right. See, that's so
it's just a cultural thing though now.
It's
like,
a
no
cultural
one knows what
thing.
That means.
Yeah, but I know people think, oh, Father, you're being so... But I'm like, no, if we don't need to baptize something that's wrong, then why baptize it?
Sure.
You know?
Got it. Okay.
Thanks. So, and also Fat Tuesday, I mean, like, it's not an excuse to get drunk. There's never an excuse to get drunk, you know?
Did you say Muscle Fat Tuesday?
And also Fat
Tuesday. And Muscle Fat Tuesday.
Muscle doesn't have fat, Father. You should know those.
But the one that's fun that I like is... because we live liturgically, things come up. I think I've mentioned this here before, but the Monday after Easter, in Italian, Easter is Pasqua. So the day after is called Pasquetta. And the gospel for that day always used to be the walk to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm.
So what Italians always do on that feast day is, as a family, they take a walk and have a picnic outside.
Oh, sweet.
So I always like to take them. It's a 7-mile journey between, you know, Jerusalem and Emmaus. So if I can take a long walk, I try to.
Right.
I remember you telling me that last year. I was like, oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's so beautiful. Like these, when lived well, these celebrations are ordered toward, I mean, Shana said this, ordered toward communion and a reminder that like we are in the temporal, but we are made for the eternal. And so let's take a portion of our day and celebrate that. And do something fun. And your kids will love that too. For parents who are listening, like
good memories.
Good memories. Mm-hmm. And for the, like, if you go as crazy as to take them out of school on like one of the big family feast days, like best mom ever, you know?
Totally.
So.
Mm. Now my kids are going to listen to this and be like, Mom, you know, you could take us out to go to St. Rose or, you know, Perryville.
Yeah.
See the.
And there's so many, there's so many coloring books, actually, for, like, people buy all these normal coloring books, but there's actually some awesome coloring books of saints for children on different feast days and things like that, so it would be fun to do that with, like, if you're thinking of doing things with small children.
Mm-hmm.
Like just go on Amazon, search saints coloring books, and there's heaps of them.
And Etsy.
Mm-hmm. How good.
Yay. This is great. I can go on for days.
Fun.
But I'll stop.
Yeah.
So... October 4th, you know, like by the time you listen to this, October 4th is St. Francis' feast day. So
bring your pets up.
That's also the day that the four women doctors of the church were named women doctors of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I shall not ever live that down.
What do you mean live that down?
Like I won't ever forget that. I think that's something to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Big time.
Yeah.
All right. Celebrate well.
Celebrate well.
Have fun. Bye.
Bye.